I ponder of something great. My lungs will fill and then deflate. They fill with fire, exhale desire. I know it's dire, my time today. I have these thoughts, so often I ought to replace that slot with what I once bought. Cause somebody stole my car radio, and now I just sit in silence. Sometimes quiet is violent. I find it hard to hide it. My pride is no longer inside. It's on my sleeve, my skin will scream, reminding me of who I killed inside my dream. I hate this car that I'm driving. There's no hiding for me. I'm forced to deal with what I feel. There is no distraction to mask what is real. I could pull the steering wheel. I have these thoughts, so often I ought to replace that slot with what I once bought. Cause somebody stole my car radio, and now I just sit in silence.
From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, it is Mr. 100% on Podzilla 1985 with me, your host, Shannon Young, Mr. 100, back with you on another slightly chilly Tuesday. It's almost feeling like October out there. And with me tonight to talk about a very serious topic, you may recognize her from the Peanut Gallery, as we like to call it. Occasionally you'll hear a giggle or two during some of the shows. Alethea Hebert.
Hello.
She's finally on the show.
Yes, I am.
After begging and pleading.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was doing.
For months and months.
Yeah. Three.
We have a couple of ground rules we set before the show. We aren't going to talk about personal things in relation to certain things. I'm not going to cuss. That's going to be a hard thing. But I think I can pull through it. And you're not going to cuss. Which should be easy for you,
yeah.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. So what are we talking about here tonight on this show? Well, let me share a story with you, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how much you know of me, but I haven't been to church in at least 10 to 15 years. I sometimes get lost in when it was, because the last time I went to church was with my ex-girlfriend, Jennifer, and she got me to go, and I didn't have a great time. Now, whether it was because of the situation we were in, where certain people she knew didn't like me being there, and made it difficult for me, or I'm just not a church-going type. Either way, I haven't set foot in a church in 10 years. Now, that's not to say that I don't have questions of faith, because I've had questions of faith my entire life, and I've never really known where to go with it. Well, Allie, as we are to call her, convinced me to go to church with her this Sunday, and I want to talk about it today. I want to talk about my experiences going to church again. We're going to talk about religion. We're going to talk about faith. It's going to be an interesting show. This could be either one of my favorites or a complete train wreck.
Let's hope it goes well.
Let's hope it won't. I hope the show with Zach would go well.
Well, that was Zach.
That's true. We'll get it started off. I've actually got a couple questions here for you, as we always have,
yep,
from the audience. And actually quite a few questions from the same people. Sonia Thurman and Aaron Picard. You know Aaron Picard,
yeah.
I believe. And Sonia Thurman, an old friend. And in a great band, Placeholders. A shout out to them. Got their release coming out on, let me look it up real quick, because that's something we should talk about here on the show. Sorry, Allie, we're going to get to God here in a second.
We have to get the plugs in first.
We got to get the plugs in. That's how we keep friends. They actually have their album release party, or their debut album, Lived, is coming out December 18th, 2015. So that's just 3 days away.
Yeah.
That's coming out, and I'm excited about that. Go online, go to Facebook, look up Placeholders, order that album, listen to it as you can. Sonia's a great person, and I want to help her out as much as possible. Anyway, so we have some questions here, Allie, and this is your first time taking these questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
We'll kind of sprinkle these in as we go along with the show, because they kind of tie into the subject. Surprisingly, every question's about church and God and heaven.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, well, I was hoping
they read the status.
I was hoping they would give you something like, hey, what'd you think of that Ninja Turtles trailer? Or just something other than that. But no, this is going to be a heavy show. I can feel it already. All right. First off, a couple of basic questions because I don't know how to answer this.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Picard wants to know, where did I go to church? Now, here's what I know, Aaron. It was in Carbondale. You ever see that movie where the terrorists put a bag over the victim's head and then drive them hours away, and they don't know where they're at? That's kind of what happened. All I remember is I got in a van. we talked about – I don't remember because I – let me explain why I don't remember real quick. I don't get up before 9 o'clock usually.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. There's no reason to. I had to get up at 7:30 this day after staying up till 2 or 3 o'clock the previous day to be out the door by 8 and at church by
9.
So in Carbondale and at church by 9. So I don't really know where we went. It was lovely. That's what I remember the most. So where did we go to church at? Tell us about your church.
The church is called Grace Presbyterian Church in Carbondale, Illinois. If you are familiar with Carbondale, it can be kind of known as like the church that's like hidden in that corner because it's kind of in an odd location. If you don't know Carbondale, that's complete gibberish to you.
And I don't know Carbondale. So I know there's a lot of one-way streets and we took all of them back in my youth.
The church used to be... The wrong way. The church used to be called Evangelical Presbyterian Church. I think it was probably a year, maybe 2 years ago, we changed it to Grace Presbyterian Church.
Now, you said it's Presbyterian Church.
Yes.
Let's start off with that because I'm not too smart when it comes to the difference in denominations and whatnot. So you told me a story about how a lot of people think Christians are just Christians. And I was that way. I thought Christians are Christians, Catholics are Catholics, and that's where the difference is. But there's big differences within the Christian faith. So tell me about the Presbyterian faith.
Well, there's even a lot of differences in different Presbyterian denominations. There's the big PCUSA, which is becoming very liberal in many sense. There's the PCA, which is what my church is a part of. And there's others. I don't know all of them. And there also is Reformed and non-Reformed. I'm a part of a Reformed church.
And what is the difference there?
Reformed churches go along more with after the Reformation, which John Calvin kind of started. And that's whenever they went through and revised kind of what the church stands for, what they want to teach. And
so they changed. They have, in a way, evolved the teachings of the church.
Yeah.
He also wants to know, was the sermon topical or expository? I almost misspelled that or mispronounced that, of a specific scripture.
Well,
tongue-tied
I mean,
there. Sorry, Aaron.
You were there for the sermon.
Yeah, but I know it was of a specific scripture. It was in the pamphlet, which I kept as a keepsake.
It's called a bulletin.
A bullet or a pamphlet. It's a piece of paper you fold with information on it. That's what we used to call them back in the 50s. And I do remember it was of a specific scripture.
Yeah, he started off with a scripture from Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of the times he starts off with that and he'll go back, obviously, throughout the scripture to that verse or the verses that he's talking about.
Yeah.
But
what's your pastor, by the way, Curran Bishop?
Yes.
Who I talked to after the what would you call it? Service.
Yes.
I talked to after the service, and this is going to tie into a question we've got here in a second, but I want to go on record as saying what a nice gentleman who made
Absolutely.
Me feel very at ease.
Yes.
So I wanted to throw that out there. Great speaker and really did a great job of talking to me and not down to me. But we'll get to that in a second because that ties into a question. So please go on. I'm sorry for interrupting.
But I think he kind of does stay on a topic that goes with the verses he picks out.
Yeah. To me, it very much felt like he had a subject he wanted to talk about, and then he found scripture that tied into the subject he wanted to talk about, as opposed to picking a scripture and talking about that scripture. Does that make sense?
In a way. I mean, I also kind of feel like he probably picked out the scripture, figured out the main subject and where you can go with that.
And speaking of the subject, the next follow-up to that is by Sonia, who says, that's a great question. It was. Thank you, Aaron. And I'm always curious if the pastor gets political. I got spoiled at a big church where politics were not discussed, but I grew up in a more blatantly politically charged church atmosphere. So I'd like to know, what time is the show tonight? The show is now. This is live, pal. It was political in a way, because one of the things that, Curran talked about that got my attention from the start was he read a, I don't know if it was a forum, I forget what it was, or maybe it was a news post and then someone replied to it, but a person's reply about Muslims and how this person thought we're at war, round them all up, send them off. Basically, if you've heard Donald Trump on CNN for the past couple of months.
Yeah, basically said, do to the Muslims what we did to the Japanese people.
To the Japanese
people.
During World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is ridiculous.
It
first
is.
First off, let me just say that for anyone out there, and I've said it before, if you agree with Donald Trump's rhetoric, please come on the show. Talk to me. Tell me why you believe in Donald Trump's rhetoric.
You'll leave like Nate did.
We won't attack you. I want to know why. But anyway, so we did talk about that. We talked about how you should keep Muslims out.
That's not what we are supposed to do.
No, that is not what people are taught, and that is not a good way to go. And he tied that into history. He tied that into the scripture. He did a very good job of tying that into things. So was it political? Yes, but in the same way that saying you shouldn't punch babies is a stance against, you know, violence. Of course it's not. You shouldn't punch babies. You shouldn't keep people out because of their religious beliefs.
I think more so is Curran likes to point out how things that happened in the historical part of scriptures, because in scripture there's things that actually happen and then there's like the metaphor stories. The story that we were talking about in Jeremiah is a historical story.
Right.
He likes to tie those into things that are happening currently, saying that these issues they saw back then, that they are learning from, we still go through it today. The struggles they had, we still go through. So listening to this story isn't pointless.
No, it those who don't listen to history are doomed to repeat it, as the saying goes, or at least it kind of goes like that. But he did bring up in the 50s, it was communists.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was the Taliban. Then it was ISIS.
It's just...
Now it's just Muslims in general.
Everyone.
It is. It's cycles.
Mm-hmm.
We find it, and I think what he was trying to say is that we find new targets to be afraid of, and that drifts people, that takes people away from the message. It takes people away from the teachings. At least that's what I got from it.
Yeah. There's... And this isn't the first time he's mentioned how people are reacting to Muslims now in a sermon. I believe the week before, which you weren't there,
no.
He was going through verses that people misuse. They take to kind of make a point, but they're not using the verse correctly. And I can't remember what verse he showed us, but the gist of it is a man is meant to take care of his household first and foremost, and if he can't do that, they're basically saying you're worse than an unbeliever.
Mm.
It says that in the verse. And they took that to mean, I can't allow the Muslims into this country because if they have a chance to harm me, I can't allow that to happen. God tells me not to do that. And he's saying, you're misusing the scriptures. That's
absolutely
not what it's telling you to do.
No, and he also, and I understand that there is going to be a line drawn between someone who is of a Christian faith of what he can say about another faith. Because is my belief, and correct me if I'm wrong, that people of a certain faith believe their faith is the one true faith and all other faiths are false. So I'm sure as a Christian, he and a Presbyterian and whatnot, that he doesn't believe that the Muslim faith is right. But one thing he did say, which struck a chord with me and made me respect him a lot and made me feel at ease at this church, was that he doesn't want the government getting, and I remember saying this, he doesn't want the government telling him how he can practice his religion or when or where. And he meant that in terms of the Muslim people have every right to practice their religion in this country without being judged or forced out like, you know, prisoners.
Yeah.
And I liked that. That was very nice. And, it's not what I'm used to, because what I'm used to, the church that I went to, I told you this before, you and I have had discussions about it, big screen TV, probably 100+ people in there. And it had all the subtlety and kindness of a gynecological exam.
Do you know that from experience?
I do, and I'm still confused as to why the doctor was in there with me. I told him, I think you're barking up the wrong tree, doc. And I was the one that left looking like a fool. Anyway, going on, Aaron also had one more question, which you tell me, because I don't know this question at all. Was the music contemporary, traditional, or blended? Do you remember anyone who was quoted in the sermon?
I do not remember anyone that was quoted in the sermon. Sorry.
The music,
though, mostly traditional. I think the songs, most of the songs we sang whenever you were there were definitely traditional.
Yeah.
But they are starting to incorporate more contemporary music. It was a lot easier whenever we had more musicians at our church, but we are down to about a flute player and a pianist, so it's harder to get those more contemporary songs to work.
Which the pianist, by the way, did a fantastic job.
Well, so did the flautist.
I don't remember the flautist. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention.
She talked to you after the service.
Did she?
Yes.
What did she say?
She asked you to come back.
Oh, was that her?
Yeah.
I guess
Klugman, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. I heard the piano and I was trying so hard to sing correctly because Shannon's an idiot. Shannon doesn't remember how to read music. It's been a long time. So as I was reading, what was the first song we sang? Had something to do with the Lord. I remember that.
Oh, you shortened it.
Ah. I don't remember, but it was a well-known one because I knew the song. But I remember reading the music for it, and it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the next goes 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I went from 1 to 2 and sang the wrong lyrics, and then I'm looking around at everybody going, okay, let's figure this out real quick. I stepped back, I studied it, and I figured it out and sang along. Now, I don't really know these songs very well, so I just kind of followed your lead, which, by the way, you did a bang-up job.
Oh, thank you.
Hearing you sing from those books was a great experience for me. I loved it. But when we got to Joy to the World, that's when I belted it out. I was ready to go. Put me on American
Only
Idol.
Only the first verse,
Only the
though,
first verse.
Because there's like 8. And
nobody knows the rest of it.
No.
I listened to everyone else. Everyone else, there was so. It's like when you hear a song on the radio and you know the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of fumble through the verse and then you get to the chorus and you just, wah! Yeah, that's what me. That was me. That was what happened to me. So Aaron, yeah, it was traditional. It was traditional and it was good. One of the things I was afraid of most about going to church was the singing. I know that's a weird thing to say, but one thing I remember from going to church before was that you sang every 5 minutes and I didn't really like it back then. I'm still not used to it, but it wasn't as painful as I thought it was going to be, which is really telling of my experience in the church as a whole, which we'll go into a little bit more. What we got? What else we got here? Sonia had some questions. What she starts off by saying, I have some questions. But she feels like things they will discuss. Were people welcoming? Did they not even notice a new person? And she says, I realize that depends on how big the church is. Well, the church was, I counted it out, there were probably 25 to 30 people there that day. Us included.
That's
about average.
Pretty average for our congregation.
Which is smaller than any church I've been to. And I've only been to 2, so that's not saying much. Was it welcoming? Yes. We arrived at the church, went downstairs for breakfast, which I did not eat at because, I usually don't eat breakfast. I don't eat until about midnight, usually, unless people force me to eat. So I went down there. I basically sat at a table with you and your brother, Calvin, and we talked about anything other than church. And every so often, somebody new would walk up and introduce themselves to me, and normally when people introduce themselves to me, especially in a group setting like that, it always feels forced. It always feels fake. When I met Lindsay's family and her extended family, they were nice people, but I never felt like it was genuine. And I didn't completely feel that way at the church. I did feel like an outsider because I am an outsider.
Oh, yeah.
But they were very warm and welcoming, and they spoke to me like a person and not like someone that needs to go to church. I told you the story a couple days ago when my friend got married and I was his best man. At the end of it, the service, at the end of the wedding, the pastor turns to me and goes, you know, he tells everybody, we'll see you in church next Sunday. And then looks at me and says, especially you. And I thought, well, what do you mean by that? I'm the only one here that's not dressed in overalls at a wedding. Why am I the one that needs to come to church? But I didn't feel that way here. I felt like it was, they wanted me to be there.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the biggest thing with churches. And I'm sorry, I'm totally stealing the, but this is my show, you must understand, as Mr. 100.
But I'm the guest.
You are the guest, and we'll get to you in a second, darling.
Oh, okay.
The big thing with churches with me is that the church that I went to before this, with Jennifer, I almost felt like they were trying to shoo me away. That is the impression I got when her friend got up there and pointed out how Christians should not associate with non-Christians.
Which is,
it was false.
Yeah, that's
false. But he looked directly at me when he said it. and then called her to show that she was his best friend, et cetera, et cetera. But I felt like they were trying to shoo me away. Like, they didn't want me there. You're not a Christian? Then don't come. Whereas your church, I felt like, you're not a Christian? Let me talk to you about it.
Yeah, and I think that was even brought up in the sermon.
It was.
And yeah. I thought Curran said it very well. He kind of described that, in a sense, there are two types of churches. There's the church for the unbeliever, for the people who are interested and curious about it, to come and to hear basically the gospel, to hear all the basics without any, he said, Christianese jargon.
Without being too heavy.
Yeah, with using words that you can understand instead of using big words to make you feel like you're lost.
Like embiggen. Like the noblest spirit embiggens the...
Okay.
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 Go on.
And then he described the second church, which he said was more for the believer, the insiders, as he said. And they use the jargon. They use the Christianese. They go into depth of, now that you are a Christian, how can you grow? And he even said how he doesn't feel that either of those churches are right. And I don't either. I think a church isn't meant for just either the one group of believers or the people who are just curious. The church is for everyone. The church is for the people who are curious to come and learn from the people who have been there. And the people who have been there to learn from the people who are coming in because they have a different point of view.
Yeah.
They see the world differently.
Right.
And you don't always, I was raised in the church. I've been a Christian my entire life. And even with talking with you, I see that you look at the world differently sometimes than the way I do.
Mm, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that doesn't, and talking with someone who sees the world differently makes you understand everything so much more.
It's always been my impression that the purpose of Christianity and the purpose of people that have faith is, and just put it bluntly, just to put it in basic terms, the point of that is to convert more people to Christianity, to show them your faith and convince them that your faith is the right faith, not because, and this is where the line was drawn for me at church, not because you have to, because you want to get into heaven, but because you want other people to make it.
Yeah.
You want other people to succeed. And I got that feeling from this church. The church that I was at before, I felt like it was that second church you were talking about, where they were already a part of the club. They were the Bullet Club, and they didn't want me anywhere near it.
Yeah.
I was an outsider, and they wanted to keep me out.
Shun the unbeliever.
And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just because I was dating this girl, and I got mixed feelings from the church. But I just remember going and not enjoying it and couldn't wait till I left. Couldn't wait till it was over so I could go on with my day. I didn't get that feeling from your church. I didn't necessarily feel like I belonged there because this is new to me.
But it was more you than how people treated you.
It was more of how I felt than how people made me feel.
Yeah.
And I also felt like not only was this man Curran speaking to me from, you know, Christian belief, but also from common sense and from a moral compass that I could agree with.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that. I can't even remember the name of the pastor from the church I went to before or anything about him other than that I didn't like it. And Jennifer, if you're listening to this, maybe we're just from two different worlds. I apologize. I hope you don't take any offense to that, but that's just how I felt. So there is that. One of the other things I liked is that I didn't have everybody introduce themselves because I was afraid of that. It was, here's this person, this person, this person, this person, this person takes out the trash, this person does this. And that wasn't the case. They talked to me, but they talked to me like a person.
Mm-hmm.
They came to me. They introduced themselves. We small talked. It wasn't an immediate, so are you a Christian? So where are you going to go someday? You going to hell? It was very polite and it was very personable.
Yeah.
So the people of your church are good people.
I would agree.
From what I've seen. Okay, we got another question here from my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Ryan Casper.
Gosh.
Did you read these before?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to read them before, Allie. That is like the rule.
Sorry.
All right, show's over.
No!
We're switching topics. Where's Ethan?
Ethan's not here.
Ethan, you can host. Ethan? No? All right.
I mean, his, what's it like being a Christian?
So, Allie, where do you work? Don't answer that.
I'm not.
Okay. That's another rule on this show. Unless you work at Gaming Grounds, don't say where you work. I don't want to get anyone in trouble for their beliefs. Casper, my cousin, my dear cousin, who mm-hmm. I love unconditionally, he wants to know, and I know he's trolling on some of these, but I'm going to answer him. Why can't prairie dogs go to heaven? I don't know how to answer that one. Kaz, why can't prairie dogs go to heaven? Do you have a bias against prairie dogs? Is my question. Because I like prairie dogs, personally. They're adorable.
Wouldn't that question that you're asking, because he's asking why can't they go to heaven, not why...
Yeah, but he picked out prairie dogs specifically.
Okay, we're thinking way too much on this question.
So that means there's a bias against prairie dogs somewhere in the United States. And if you know of the conspiracy against prairie dogs going to heaven, email me at alldogsgotoheaven, hashtag, at dombluth.com. I have to ask Lindsay if that's a non-blue movie. What's the deal with apricots? I don't know. Never ate them. I don't think.
Are they like peaches?
I love peaches. Is a peach an apricot?
I think they're slightly different.
Well, I don't like slightly different. My views are very strict. Where do souls come from? It's somewhere in between the rib cage and the small intestine, if I remember correctly. It's lodged in there.
What?
The soul. That's what
you haven't taken philosophy.
I only have a 2-year degree. I don't know if you've heard that or not. Okay, so where is the soul? Where does the soul come from? Wait, no. I know this. Where do souls come from? Pablo Neruda. I was going to quote some Simpson there, but please, go on. You look like you have an actual response.
I mean, kind of.
Get philosophical on me.
There's a lot of different theories about souls. There's the materialist theory that we don't really have souls, that the thing that we think is a soul is just in our mind, is in our brain. It's the neurons in our brain, which is more of the atheist view of souls. There's the mind-body dualism, which I agree more with, that there is a difference between your soul and your brain, that your soul controls your brain. Your brain is what kind of causes the actions. Your soul is what decides the actions. And where that comes from would be God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit would kind of bring that to life. But that is a very hard philosophical question to give a straight answer to.
Somewhere Jesse Kimball is rolling around in his grave over this because he's smarter than all of us and he's going to tell us why.
Oh, okay.
No, where do souls come from? It's very easy. I wish I could cue up the sound clip of Milhouse talking about the soul. I'm going to look it up real quick. Milhouse said it best. Do you watch The Simpsons?
I have.
Do you like The Simpsons?
Yes.
It's a good show.
Yes, it is.
Internet's a little slow here. Okay, here we go. Where is it? Okay, so Bart asks, because The Simpsons will explain it. If your soul's real, where is it? And Milhouse points at his temple. It's kind of in here, and when you sneeze, that's your soul trying to escape. Saying God bless you crams it back in, and when you die, it squirms out and flies away. What if you die in a submarine at the bottom of the ocean? Oh, it can swim. It's even got wheels in case you die in the desert and it has to drive into the cemetery. So I hope that answered your question, Cass.
Yeah.
It answered mine. I don't wonder about the soul anymore. Next. Is there a container on the shelf with the bulk storage of them or something? Yeah. Let's skip that one. What is the climate in heaven? I assume it's room temperature.
Comfortable.
I hope so.
Comfortable.
Heaven's great, but that 97 degree weather is really killer. Well, think about it. You're in the clouds. Clouds are fluffy. You're closer to space, which means it's going to be cooler, probably. I don't know. I'll give a dumb answer for a dumb question. What's the climate in heaven? It's whatever you want it to be. Because it's heaven.
Probably the best answer you can give. I don't know.
Why didn't Satan get a book to tell his story? He did. It's called the Bible. Right? Isn't that Satan's story too? I don't know much about the Bible. Educate me. Or if you don't watch the book, go watch one of the billions of movies about Satan. I recommend The Devil's Advocate, starring Al Pacino as Satan.
There. Just go do that. That's all you need to know.
Is there a Church of Satan. Is there a satanic Bible? I've always heard there is a Bible for Satanists. Do you know, is that true?
I'm sure they probably have some form of writing that declares what they believe.
Which is nothing, usually. Because it turns out, as I've found out recently, Satanists don't believe in Satan. Satanists use Satan as a symbol of independence, and they don't actually believe in God or the devil. They just use it as a symbol. Which, sure. I don't have any problem. Okay, here's where I'm going to get in trouble. I don't have any problem with Satanists. Because Satanists, this is not 1994 where there was a huge concern that Satanists were sacrificing animals and, you know, raping children. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
Those were mostly lies created by parents who were concerned and kids with overactive imaginations. Satanists are not killers. There are some people who do kill in the name of Satan.
But there are also people who kill in the name of God.
And Muhammad and Buddha and Slender Man.
Yeah.
So, if you're going to base...
Or Flappy Bird.
Did you ever play Flappy Bird?
Yeah.
I'd kill over that game.
Flappy Bird?
Flapping away. and Kaz goes on, also, why the hell can't God keep his little soldiers in check? Well, it's not God's responsibility to keep his soldiers in check. That's the point of free will, right?
That, I guess, is one way to look at the question. I saw it more as you're looking at the people you think that are God's soldiers aren't. You're seeing the people in the media who are killing in the name of God, who are oppressing people because they feel that is what God wants them to do. That's not God's soldiers. God's soldiers are the ones that show love. God's soldiers are the ones that reach out to people to help them, that talk to people like they're people, that hear that you're doing something wrong and they don't judge you because they've probably done it too, who see the blood on your hands and notice how they're the same color as theirs. God's soldiers are the ones who aren't in the media most of the time because they don't make a good headline.
No. Because bad headlines are always more attention grabbing. And Kaz, you should know that because we both worked for the same paper.
Yeah. So.
I mean, David Berkowitz listened to his dog when he killed those people. Do you think PETA is responsible for, or the National Dog Association, those guys that put on the little dog show every Thanksgiving?
All dogs.
All dogs go to heaven. Hashtag. I'm starting it right now. So Kaz, now, as long as I've known Kaz, he's been an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if he's still an atheist or if he's agnostic. I don't know. We all grow up and we evolve a little bit and we change our philosophies and our ideas. It's very antagonistic, his questions.
Yeah.
But I get it.
That also comes from being angry about seeing the things that people do while they call themselves Christians, and then other people acting like they're great because they call themselves Christians.
Yeah, there's a line between what we perceive as a good Christian, the Bible thumpers, the people that condemn other people for their actions, and real Christians, those who don't condemn but try to help. And I know it sounds like, oh, Shannon, what are you talking about? You've always been critical of religion. And yeah, I have. I am the kind of person that, growing up, I hated organized religion, and in a lot of ways I still hate organized religion, but that's because the only organized religion I knew was the interactions I had with that church and what I see on TV. And if you base your entire world knowledge on a fraction that is so small it doesn't even register, you're going to have a skewed view. Now, what I'm trying to do, and what some people don't either have the capacity or don't have the interest in doing, is learning more about it. I'm not saying that I'm a diehard Christian right now. I don't have a Bible on me. I'm wearing a cross, but I've always worn a cross because I have an affinity for crosses. But what I want to do is I want to open my mind to the possibilities of what I have been biased against. And if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it, because it doesn't take a pledge of allegiance or a sworn fealty. All you have to do is say, I want to know more.
Yeah.
You don't have to be biased against it. You don't have to be biased for it. You can learn about it and make your own decisions.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Kaz, message me. Let's talk. Aaron Picard, one more from Aaron Picard. He says, I'd like your thoughts on this. Dr. Dan Doriani said, the church is the only group of people that in order to be a part of it, you have to say, I don't deserve to be here, and you're in. And he wants our thoughts on that. I'll let you go first.
I mean, I could go on for a while with this.
I'll go first, then, because okay. Mine's quick. I don't deserve to be here, and you're in. I think that's true in a lot of ways, but here's why I think it's true. It's because church and God and religion and the Bible and all this stuff, to me, when I hear people talk about religion, it's always, I want to go to heaven. That is the thing I hated about religion, is the people that are religious just because they want to be rewarded. They don't care about other people. They just want to make it. They want an afterlife. They're afraid to die. They're afraid of hell, whatever. And I hate that. When you say, I don't deserve to be here, and you mean it, when you show humility, and you're saying, I don't deserve to be here, I'm not worthy, then that shows you have a genuine sincerity to God, to a creator, to salvation, to people that want to help you. You're not there because you want in. You want to be a part of the circle. You're there because you don't deserve to be there, and you want help. That is the good side of church to me. That is the side, when you say, I don't deserve to be there, that is the kind of people I want to help. Not the ones that go, I've never had sex before marriage, therefore I'm going to heaven. No. You can do it right and still get it wrong. That's my philosophy. Now you go ahead, because we've got about 30 or about 20 minutes, so.
Okay.
I still have more, though, so please, go on, Allie.
So, it says the group, Christians are a group of people where, what does it say exactly?
Christians, or a church is the only group of people that in order to be a part of it, you have to say, I don't deserve to be here, and you're in. So in other words, it's not, I want to be there, it's, I shouldn't be here, and they accept you.
There's a few things I want to say. First thing is the whole, I don't deserve this mentality that Christians have. Is right. That's the mentality Christians have because they look inward and see the sin that they have done. The things that they do every day that they don't realize at the time, but it's a sin. And even with communion or the Lord's Supper, our Curran normally says, this is the table where you come and say, I can't do this by myself. I can't save myself. I fail every day. I need God's grace. And so in that sense, yeah, as a Christian, you are going to think, I don't deserve this. That's why it's called grace. That's why it's a gift. That's why you can't do it on your own. Now, the whole, all you have to do is say, I don't deserve this, and you're in, kind of says that you have the power to get yourself into heaven, to be saved. When a lot of people, there are a lot of Christians out there in different denominations that believe you have to do certain things to be saved. Presbyterians don't. Presbyterians believe it's completely a gift. It's completely out of your hands. And the only way you're saved is through the grace of God. Through Him forgiving you, through Him saving you, and having Jesus die on the cross for you. And that can be a really hard thing to understand. Because if you can't control your own salvation, how are you going to get it? How do you know if you have it? It's scary.
Yeah.
And I can go on and on about salvation and all that, but... So I pretty much agree with the statement of you say, I don't deserve this, but I don't like the wording necessarily.
Yeah.
Making it sound like this is what you have to do to get in.
Yeah.
Because it's not really you doing anything.
Also hearing you talk about that, it made me think of stuff like the Paris attacks or, the most recent attacks out in San Bernardino, when people use the term prayer, when they say things like, we're praying for their safety, we're praying for the people, and people get upset by that because they feel like prayer isn't enough to fix problems. And I agree with that 100%. But something, and I don't know why, something you said just made me think of this. But it made me think that there is a difference between, and I'm starting to understand it a little better, which I guess is a testament to you, because you've helped me a lot through this. You've talked to me about it, and I've had a lot of people talk to me about it before, and I didn't want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had listened, at least listened. Not just devoted myself to something, but listened.
Yeah.
But the difference between having faith and using your faith as strength and relying only on faith to get through life. Because if you only rely on faith and prayer to get yourself through life, you will fail. You will fail because you have to do things for yourself. You can use the strength of your faith to guide you through your own problems, but you cannot use faith alone. You can't just go, okay, God, pay my bills for
me.
And it's stupid that people would assault you for that. I hate that. I've grown to hate that.
Yeah. It kind of, like this week, so I've thought about God won't fail. God doesn't fail. But you have to proceed. God can't even do anything if you don't try. As long as you head forward, if it's in God's plan, it's not going to fail. As long as you don't walk away, you're good.
Let me see. So God gives you a Jeep, but you got to put your own gas in. I don't know. I'm reaching there. I don't know. Just something about that made me think about that. I actually do have one more question here. This one's actually from Lonnie, the boss, the boss boss. So I'm glad we haven't talked about him yet. Let me pull it up here on my phone because he actually sent this to me personally. He asks, was visiting a church with someone you knew as scary as you thought it would be? Not like scary going into it. I mean, once you walked out of the service, how did you feel? That is my question for the podcast. Now, the reason Lonnie's interested in this is because Lonnie has tried to get me to go to church. Louie tried to get me to go to church. I've had a lot of people try to get me to go to church, and for whatever reason, I didn't do it. I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
With Louie, I don't know. Louie and I talked about religion a lot. We talked about God, and I liked hearing him talk about it because he's very smart. He's very smart about the subject, and he did a good job of putting it in ways that I understood it. Lonnie and I talked about it, and I told him I would try to go to church with him, and I never did. And honestly, the reason is the same reason I put off going to church with you for so long. Because if you remember, I've said for a couple of weeks and weeks, I'll go. Yeah, I'll see you this Sunday. But I backed out because I was scared. And the reason I'm scared was because, and I don't mean to bring Lindsay back into this, but Lindsay and I had this theory that before we came together, that if we, because we knew each other online. We knew each other online and we decided to meet each other and we didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it because if we met each other and didn't like each other, then not only do you have that bad experience, but then you don't have the possibility anymore.
Yeah.
Everything's out the window. Same thing with God in church. My thought was, if I go to church, if I try, because I've always wondered about faith, I've always had a fascination with it. And for anyone out there that's thinking, Shannon's talking a lot of nonsense, why is he talking about this so much? You know me, you know I've always had an interest in this. But I was scared to go because if I went and I failed, if it didn't touch me, then there's no hope. I have no God.
That goes back to my answer to your fear would be, the only way it would fail is if you walk away.
And I've walked away plenty of times.
And it's
failed plenty of
times. Yeah, you have said, I've been searching for this my entire life, but you've walked away.
I have been. I have a very, and Lonnie, I'm going to get to your question in just one second. I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent. I have a very love-hate relationship with God and with religion as a whole. And I want to talk about, actually, I'll talk about that in a second. But to answer Lonnie's question first, how did I feel walking out? I felt strange. Being in church and listening to the pastor speak and singing the hymns didn't really affect me all that much. I thought it was pleasant. I listened to what he said, and I agreed with a lot of his topics. I thought what he said was interesting. I looked at it from a from an outsider's perspective of, okay, I'm not here. I don't want to hear him talk about my soul and how I'm saved. I want to hear him talk and I want to see what he's saying. And the things he said were very intelligent and they were very well thought out and he made a lot of good points. It wasn't until we went down, you talked about the table where they said, what is it? The communion?
Communion.
Yeah.
Or the Lord's Supper.
When they started passing out the bread and the wine and said, if you don't feel like you should take this, you don't have to, no judgment.
Yeah.
Is what he said. And it was at that moment as I thought about it and they handed me the bread and I looked down at the bread and I felt, I can't describe the feeling. I don't want to say I felt lousy because that would make it seem like they made me feel lousy and they didn't. I made me feel lousy because I could have very well just eaten the bread and maybe won some points because we were there with your family and people that I didn't know that I wanted to like me.
Yeah.
And I could have eaten the bread and kept up appearances, but I didn't. And I couldn't.
That's good. That goes along with what he was saying before he passed out the bread and the wine of, if this isn't something you're committed to, pass it along.
Yeah.
Don't be embarrassed by it. We're not here to say, oh, he didn't take in communion.
Yeah.
We're here to say, he's learning. We've been there. We've all learned. We've all been curious and asking questions, and there's nothing wrong with passing communion if you aren't there.
And I'm not there. So you hear me speaking right now as if I'm pro-church and I'm pro-organized religion, and I'm not. I'm not pro-organized religion, and I'll explain why again here in a second, but I want to learn more, and when I was there and they offered me the bread and they offered me the wine, I couldn't take it. Because, not because I don't want salvation. If there is such a thing as God and heaven, I do want salvation. But I'm not there 100%. You know?
Yeah.
I one thing that I've never wanted to do, it's the reason I don't go to church, it's the reason I don't just say I'm a Christian just because, it's because I do believe in a God.
Yeah.
I do believe in a God. And I don't know what he is or where he is, but I don't want to insult him by going somewhere and pretending to be something I'm not. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And no, I think as a Christian, that is something to be proud of. That is a good thing. That
I heard it speaks to my character.
It speaks to your character. Yes, it does.
So, Lonnie, how did I feel? I felt strange. I felt, back to what Aaron said, I felt like I didn't deserve to be there, but I wanted to know more. I want to experience more. I want to learn. Just like I do with every aspect of my life, I want to grow and I want to learn. And I want to take a real stab at this thing. So was it as awful as I thought it was going to be? No. They did not make me feel awful. They did not make me feel unwelcome. God didn't make me feel uncomfortable. I made myself feel uncomfortable because it's not something I'm used to and it's terrifying.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to take in.
Especially if you weren't raised around it.
Which I was not.
I was. And so it, to me, watching people pass the bread and the wine around is common. It's everyday life to me. Because every Sunday it's happened almost. To you, you're probably thinking, what is going on in their minds? How do they know? How do they think?
That's questions I've always had, and that's the hardest part of religion for me, is the way I was raised. I was raised in a very odd home. My mother was religious, but didn't go to church, but had faith. My father did not. It was a very, I don't want to say it was a liberal home, because it wasn't, but they gave me the freedom to explore my own thoughts and come to my own conclusions about life. They didn't tell me, here's how you have to think, here's how you have to go to church, or you don't have to go to church, whatever. They let me decide. And I have a lot of thoughts that don't align well with organized religion. We've said it on the show before, I don't think that gay marriage is wrong, and I will never think gay marriage is wrong. So if that automatically disqualifies me from heaven, then I'm automatically disqualified from heaven. But that doesn't mean that I still don't believe in a God.
the only sin that it says can't be forgiven, the only sin that can kind of keep you out of heaven is blasphemy, is not believing in a God or believing in a different God.
What about going to church and faking it? That's blasphemy, right?
I mean, if you don't, if you're going to the church and faking it, that means you don't believe in a God.
Right. So I was right in.
Yeah, you were right.
Yeah, exactly.
So if anyone, if you're a Christian or not, if anyone looks at you and says, because you lied, you're going to hell. Because you're gay, you're going to hell. Because you had an abortion, you're going to hell. They don't know. One, it's not their judgment. Their judgment doesn't damn you to hell. So, it's their misjudgment.
Thought we weren't going to curse on this show, Ellie.
You... The way I used that word wasn't a curse word.
Eh, I'll give it to you.
It's in the Bible.
A lot of words in the Bible. Begot.
Begotten.
You ever read that thing? That thing is long.
It's 60... It's a lot of books.
It's complicated. It's the best-selling book in America.
It's also the most stolen.
Right in front of Donald Trump's autobiography. That's a joke.
That's a joke.
Okay, so let's switch topics for just a second.
Okay.
Church, my final say, the church-going experience was interesting, and I want to know more. I'm not a card-carrying Christian. But I have an open mind and I want to know more. And if I come to that decision that this is for me, then I sincerely hope that the people I care about don't change their view of me.
Yeah.
Because I will always be me.
Yeah.
I will never not be me. I grow and I evolve and things change and situations change, but I will always be me. I will make mistakes and I'll try to make up for them.
There's no one youer than you. That's a Dr. Seuss quote.
I think I've used that quote before on you, actually, too.
Probably.
Right? Yeah. You don't remember?
You say a lot of things.
I don't stop talking.
I know.
That's why I have a podcast.
I know.
Okay, so switching topics for just a second. We got about 10 minutes left, actually. Time has flown by. This is where Asa turns off the podcast, because Donald Trump.
Oh, okay.
I want to ask you about Donald Trump. Donald Trump, who says, round all the Muslims up. Keep them from this country. And these people that follow this, these people that think that that is the right thing to do and legitimately believe that he is good for America, not just as a presidential candidate and not just as an idea that that the way he thinks is the right way as a Christian who he's trying to play to by inciting anger against another religion that we don't understand. How does that make you feel? How do you feel about Donald Trump? Because you've been here for our debates on it.
Yeah.
Because you sit in a lot of the shows.
Yes.
What do you think about Donald Trump?
I don't like Donald Trump. I don't. The idea of trying to kick people out of the country of, one, his just plain disrespect for everyone.
Yes.
Is probably one of the most awful things about someone, is if you are just so disrespectful to someone.
To everyone.
Yeah. If you are not a rich white male, he's going to be disrespectful to you.
Look over his history with what he said about women.
Yeah.
What he said about minorities. What he said about, you know, people, other countries.
He won't even talk to them. They try and ask him a question and he's, no.
They had a debate tonight.
Yeah.
And Jeb Bush, I was just reading, said, you can't insult your way to presidency, which is a direct shot at Donald Trump. And if I've never thought that I would be the kind of guy that would say, Jeb Bush is making sense. I mean, Bush is making sense.
Honestly, that kind of can go with any, especially Donald Trump, but every presidential candidate, because it always becomes, it always turns into that. It isn't about what you're going to do for the country. It's about how they are going to ruin the country.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I don't like politics. And I've been covering politics since before college because I used to do independent things. But Casper and I, crazy mm-hmm. Casper, we used to debate this kind of stuff all the time. Back when we were in college, showing my age here a little bit, Obama was still in Chicago. He was still in Illinois. Yeah. And I was a big fan of his. And we've been covering this forever, and I hate politics. I always heard if you want to make enemies, if you don't want to fight, don't talk about politics or religion.
Yeah.
So I think it's apropos that we're talking about politics and religion.
And tonight. Religion.
Yeah.
Both.
Donald Trump also said that he will not seek an independent bid if he doesn't get the Republican nomination. So if we can just get him out of the Republican race, we don't have to deal with Donald Trump anymore. Which would just be lovely.
It would be. It really would be.
So, Ali Hebert does not support Donald Trump.
No.
Who do you like?
I don't know. It's
just say Bernie Sanders.
I'm not gonna. I don't follow politics that much.
Say
I don't,
Bill Clinton.
I'm not gonna say anyone because as soon as I say it, one, this is being recorded.
This is.
So.
Yeah.
And as soon as I say it. It's my word.
Someone will jump. Well, no, I say lots of things on here I don't mean, and I get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
People need to realize that half of what I say is entertainment. Half of it is truth. You have to find the balance between, was he just saying that to be entertaining, or is he saying that because he means it? This show.
It's a game.
It's entertainment.
Play along, folks.
Except this show.
Yeah.
There are certain things I don't like to joke about very often, and that's
of course. There's
death and religion.
Always has to be stuff that you joke around about death. Are you kidding me?
Only my death. Do I joke about other people's deaths?
How? If Dalton was here right now.
If Dalton was here right now, I'd kill myself. Wait. Dang it. Sorry. Can we not go one show without mentioning Dalton?
We did.
I think. You can marry people. Men can marry men in this country now. I think I'm just going to marry him and get it over with.
Means you're stuck with the man bun.
Oh, no. He'll sleep some point. And he'll lose that man bun.
You'll cut it off. And surprisingly, it gets worse.
How could it possibly get worse?
I just...
Just go with it?
It could probably get worse.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're out of time.
Aw.
I know. Aw.
Aw.
We'll have you on again. It went well. Went better than Zach.
Well.
No, I kid. I love Zach. He's listening to this. Zach also, I think my favorite part of talking with him was talking about his faith.
Yeah.
And I learned some things about him I didn't even know. So, it's amazing when you talk about things like this, serious subjects, when you actually sit down and discuss them.
You actually get to find out about a person.
You find out about a person and you find out, that you can have serious discussions about this without insulting or,
yeah.
You know.
Have actual conversations, not just getting angry with each other, and at that point, it's not a conversation.
No, at that point, it's a GOP debate.
Yeah.
So, I want to thank you guys for listening. I want to thank you, Ali, for being here.
Thank you
for
having me.
For finally coming on the show.
Thank you for finally having me.
I thought it was a good time to do it.
Yeah.
Today was a good day to have it. So, thank you guys for listening. We're going to be back. Oh, gosh. What is today? Tuesday?
Yes.
All right. Since we don't do the Marvelous Jesse and Chris anymore.
I mean, Thursday.
Thursday. Tanner Thursday.
Will Tanner be there?
I don't know.
Do we know?
I'll see if the man himself will be there this week. If not.
Place your bets.
We'll have a lot to talk about. I want to talk more about that Ninja Turtles 2 trailer, especially after seeing the Black Nerd review of it. I love that guy. And he made a lot of good points. Also going to be talking about Donald Trump. We're going to be talking about all those things you come to expect from Podzilla 1985. And then we'll be back later in the week with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Giant news on Monday. Roman Reigns is your new world champion. As terrible as that is, we're going to talk about that. Even you're shaking your head no. And I think as we watched it today, you said, even I don't watch wrestling,
I
know what's going to happen.
And it's predictable.
Yes. Not like this show.
Because it's every, I don't know, pay-per-view, every big match, it's, if you lose, you're fired.
It's a very harsh working environment.
But no one, has there ever been a time when someone lost and they got fired?
Eric Bischoff.
I don't know who that is.
I gotta school you at some point on this. I'm sure you're dying to know more about wrestling.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to talk about this stuff, let me know. I'd love to discuss, and this is something I would love to talk to more people about. Also, my offer still stands. You want to talk about Donald Trump? You support Donald Trump? Come on the show. We'll invite you into the studio. We will have a sit-down conversation about it. And I look forward to that, too. So thank you guys once again for listening. As always, I appreciate it. And we'll see you on the next one. Have a good night.
Later.